It's Friday, which means it's time for the Political Power Hour on Point Taken, where the left and right go head-to-head on this week's top stories and issues. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bride.
I say yes on this Friday. Kristen Bry, Steve Scafidi, Bill McCutcheon, Joseph Pecky, strategists on both sides. And we spent a lot of time last week on this conversation.
I was not here, but I heard it.
Oh, that's right.
I was driving
back from
Oshkosh.
You've been gone 2 weeks.
I was, yeah. Welcome back.
Well, welcome back to the Friday show.
Yeah.
Well, you
Happy to be here.
Lead us off then. The war in Iran.
You notice when she's here, I'm not just coming down the steps yelling at you.
Yeah.
I was the last 2 weeks.
Why is that?
What were you yelling about last week?
Well behaved.
So I had a take you didn't like, I believe.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So is it day 69 or 70?
Who could count? This has been shorter than World War II, though, and apparently that's supposed to be good enough. So the last week, you just get whipsawed back and forth. We've got, you know, Operation Freedom for less than 24 hours, where U.S. naval forces are going to make sure ships can transit the strait. Then we don't. We're in a ceasefire, but the fighting is still going on in Lebanon between they and Israel. You've got Iran launching attacks apparently at UAE again. You have Iran firing missiles at U.S. forces and the U.S. shooting back. But the president and Hegseth say we're still in a ceasefire.
So Trump says as of this morning, still in a ceasefire, calls Strait of Hormuz attacks point of no return.
I don't know that they know what the word ceasefire means. And there's reports out by Reuters this week that U.S. intelligence estimates that the time Iran would need to build a nuclear weapon has not changed since last summer when we obliterated their stocks. And so what seemed like there's a lot every day that goes back and forth. Fog of war is real. Information is hard to get. But what seems clear to me is Trump is desperate to get out of this, but they don't really know how. Like, they've got this 14.1 page memo that is apparently the best plan anybody's got to end this thing and get the strait open, but that doesn't deal with the enriched uranium. This is a mess. And it goes back to what I said the very first week. You don't get to just decide when something's over when you're in a shooting match. The other side gets a say too. And so this continues. And we all pay the price for it at the pump.
I would say I'm not a military expert. I don't know that any of us are. But there's a lot of this that doesn't make sense to me. And as a guy who has a son that could be in the age of being called into war if necessary, it was one of the reasons I voted for Donald Trump. I would say this. I'm actually for resuming the bombing. Let's stop farting around and saying ceasefire. These people are liars, and they're not coming to the table anytime soon. In a real and meaningful way, I say resume the bombing until they have no choice.
And no choice to do what?
To agree on the giving us back their enriched uranium. No nuclear bomb. Period. Full stop. And I would go after their leadership again like we did in the first couple of days of this. Who's ever level three, those guys better be looking, you know, in the rearview mirror because we're coming.
Would you be okay with troops on the ground?
Hell yeah. I think this needs to end sooner than later. I've said that from a political standpoint. It must end by the 4th of July. I said Memorial Day. I still hope it's Memorial Day.
Okay, hold on a second. So you're saying as a Trump supporter, a guy who is basically, I end wars, I don't start wars, you're saying you're okay with boots on the ground?
It may take that to finish this.
That would be even worse. The geography of Iran is an absolute
massive
nightmare.
I think we would have help from countries
all
in
our
the region.
Global partners.
Well,
actually, regional partners, not global partners.
No, the regional partners, not global partners. And something Ari Fleischer posted. I'm read at 3 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't sleep last night. The regional partners weren't crazy about the Operation Freedom on Monday that lasted less than 24 hours.
The Saudis killed it
because it didn't protect them. So if they got shot at, we weren't going to defend them. Well, that's crazy. I mean, you got to do both.
Where do China, Russia, the bigger geopolitical players in this, what have we heard as far as
this is the next big thing that's coming.
Yeah.
Is Trump already delayed his trip to China once?
But it's next week.
To meet with Xi. That's coming up. And China is clearly trying to use this to build more goodwill around the world and undermine the United States, telling countries, this is why you got to get off the dollar. They're not a reliable partner. So now from Russia's standpoint, that the Russia-Ukraine piece of this is also fascinating because Ukraine continues to strike deeper and deeper into Russia. Russia is scaling down their parade, that their annual parade that celebrates the end of World War II, and apparently are not going to have the tanks and missiles rolling through the streets of Moscow because they're afraid Ukraine could hit them. So this is chaos. This is instability. It is bad news for everybody except for, and this is the part that, like, as scary and disruptive as it is, this is the part people should be pissed off about. $7 billion in bets in March and April on the oil market, all of them placed moments before Trump made announcements. This is among the most blatant corruption and insider dealing you have ever seen. I'm not even sure we know who is making all that money, but we know these trades are taking place, and it is among the things that should be at the top of the list if Republicans lose the House and Democrats have gavels and can do oversight.
I don't know if it was last week or the week before when Kristen was out, I both asked both of you about reporting that this administration, this Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, has underreported some of the damage, some of the losses. Washington Post has basically said what I said, based on what I was hearing, that there are unimaginable things that have been blown up, lost, assets lost, where our Department of Defense is not being honest about. Do you change your position? Because you guys were basically like, I don't know, we don't know.
What I said was, I don't think it is possible to, and I don't think that they are covering up KIA casualties. I said, I understand.
I don't think that's possible.
Why in the immediate shooting match, you don't want to divulge all of your assets that have been damaged or destroyed. But what is clear is the initial $25 billion that Hegseth says this cost is way too low, because there's hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of repairs to those installations and equipment in the Middle East required.
Yeah, that part I get, the economic impact, how much it costs to run a war. But the part that concerns me is when you keep saying you're winning a war, but when you see these sorts of numbers and these sorts of assets being destroyed, it suggests that maybe we're not getting the truth on how well this effort is going.
Not getting the truth out of the Trump administration? That's
weird. We'll go to break on that one. He's Joseph Pecky, Bill McCosh, and Steve and Kristen on this Friday edition right here on 620 WTMJ. I don't know if they're back, but the boys are in town. Bill McCosh, Republican strategist. Joseph Pecky, Democratic strategist. Kristen Bry, back after a couple Fridays off. Welcome back. She's been here all week.
She wasn't off.
She never was
on assignment. We're on assignment.
Friday I was off. The first Friday I was off. I was in Nashville.
I'm trying to call you the hardest working woman in show business, and you're not letting me.
Well,
come
she
on.
Might I'll be that. That might be true.
Well, you guys are award winning. We haven't said anything about that, right?
We have won some awards. Kristen won, especially digital creator, which is a no brainer. She's won 2 years in a row.
But then the podcast.
Content creator. Podcast. You need to listen / overtime, that one, which we're very proud of. Good work being done.
Interestingly, they haven't had us on yet.
Right?
But they managed to win an award anyway.
Right. Yeah. Well,
maybe we get enough of
maybe
you.
Maybe we're
Fridays.
Not that good.
Yeah. Maybe. A lot of maybes there. I don't know. Where are we going next?
All right. Let's talk about party leadership. At the national level, let's talk about Democrats. And then at the state level, we'll talk about Republicans. So Ken Martin, a name that we haven't said a whole lot. But he has come under fire.
Tough week.
This week. Ken Martin, who I think people probably recognize as beating Ben Wickler for the national chair for the Democrats. And friendly fire, too, right? This was the big news was basically he went on Pod Save America, which, if you're unfamiliar, is the Obama Bros and their podcast network. But very popular on the left. And Jon Favreau kind of put his feet to the fire as far as Ken Martin refusing to put out the 2024 autopsy. And it seems like between that and then also lackluster fundraising goals, there is a question about Ken Martin's leadership going into the midterms.
Yeah, and some speculation about whether they can remove him. And I don't know that they can, but he didn't have good answers. And I think that's the important part is, like, I don't think Favreau had him on to, like, go
at him. He asked to come on the show. Like, he
right.
asked to come on but, Pod Save America
but
to talk
Favreau
about
was
it.
Asking fair questions.
Yeah.
And Martin was incredibly defensive when he wasn't evasive and doesn't have good answers as to why they refused to release the autopsy that one of his buddies got paid a bunch of money to put together, and then they buried it.
So what do you think's in it that he doesn't want it out?
I honestly don't know.
Would you, if you were in that position, would you release it publicly?
Yes, but I would have done it on like December 23rd.
How much,
right? Like you bury the thing. Yeah, right. If you don't want it to be the topic of conversation, for crying out loud, like if we know anything about the Trump White House, there's a lot of stuff that happens every day and the news cycle moves pretty quickly. This was not going to be a huge thing that was going to split the party, which is as united as it's been because Donald Trump is in the White House. Put the damn thing out.
How much of this has to do with the way that Kamala Harris got the nomination? Is it part of that story?
It could be. But Kamala Harris is among the voices this week saying, release it already.
Yeah, that was surprising.
I'm sure she wants to read it if her name's mentioned in it.
Is it under lock and key? Is there not any kind of like backdoor conversations as far as people knowing what's in it, but it's not published? Or is it only a small select people who even know what's in it?
It's pretty astonishing that the Fourth Estate was able to get their hands on the Dobbs decision before it was released, but they can't unlock this memo?
Yeah,
Come on, folks.
Well, on that topic, I said it at the time, Democrats made a mistake. Ben Wickler was a far better choice, and here's why. There are two duties of a party chairman, whether it's a national chairman or a state chairman. Number one is fundraising, and that is far and away number one. There is a canyon between that and number two, which is infrastructure. And by infrastructure, that's data. What do we know about our voters, and how do we communicate with them? Those are priorities one and two. Ken Martin doesn't address either of those. Ben built a machine here in Wisconsin on the fundraising side and on the data side that is now kicking GOP's butt in off-season elections. So I'm not surprised that he's come under fire. We're actually going through that in the Republican Party of Wisconsin, which I think we'll get to next. But it's not complicated. The party boss is not there as a messaging guy. Sorry, Joe. Joe would have been good at that. That is not their number one priority. It's raising money, full stop.
Are they involved in candidate selection by any chance?
They haven't been in a long time.
Really?
Like in Wisconsin, CSRS, the Committee to Elect a Republican Senate, and RAC, Republican Assembly Campaign Committee, they go out and recruit their own candidates. In the old days, actually not that long ago, in the 90s, 80s,
the party chairman, I guess it was.
They were involved in candidate recruitment. They're really not anymore.
So now it's just fundraising?
It's fundraising. I mean, our guy's going, you know, chicken dinner to chicken dinner, talking to the same 15 people in different counties and wasting time and resources. It is all about raising the dough to be competitive statewide or nationally in the case of Ken Martin and having the data to ID your people and to get them out when it's election time.
On the fundraising thing, the dynamic has changed because there's these mega donors and then there's like the little guys. Is there a place for some in the middle?
Just like everything else in the economy?
Yeah. Well, in Wisconsin, as we all know, has the Walker loophole, which is you can give unlimited contributions to the parties, either the Democrat or Republican, and every cent of that can get transferred to candidate X, whether it's Tom Tiffany or David Crowley or Joel Brennan. But you have to get through a process. Tom Tiffany will get through that process next weekend. He will be endorsed by the Republican convention, hopefully by acclamation, and then he'll have access to those resources, which means he may be able to spend unlimited resources sooner to build his name ID while Democrats are trying to figure out their primary.
But here's the other tricky part for shimming that I can't figure out, is that between Diane Hendricks and the Ulines, the widely known, I'm not breaking any news here, these are the big funders on the right. So it's not like you got to go rebuild relationships with 1,000 people. There's 3 people. And in the last couple of cycles, those major donors, rather than moving money through the party, which would go farther, they have set up independent, like third-party groups and paid a higher rate for ads to
3X.
Put on there. That's a bad
sign. Because they'd lost faith in the party. So, listen, my phone rang a lot over the last 72 hours on my trip to and from Superior, and it was from people who are on the executive committee, and yeah, they have an NDA, so I won't name who they were, but it was more than one, and these folks, it's time to stop the circular firing squad. Listen, have a retreat Tuesday night instead of the meeting to fire Brian Schimming, since that's not going to happen, have a meeting to develop a plan. to win in the state of Wisconsin. What's the plan? Because all 32 of you should be fired in November if this thing goes south.
There's the message from Bill McCutcheon. He knows he's done it. Joseph Pecky joining us. Kristen and Steve, it is the Friday edition of Point Taken. You know where you're at? 620 WTMJ.
All right, welcome back to Point Taken. I'm Kristen, he's Steve, here with Bill McCutcheon and Joseph Pecky, and we only got 2 minutes before we got to go to the bottom of the hour news, so let's do something that isn't going to take very long, because there's still no commercials up for Democratic candidates.
No, but I saw
governor.
Some of those candidates this week, and they heard what I said, and they're, you know, they know it's getting late early.
95 days till the primary.
And about 60 until ballots go out.
And but we do have another candidate.
Is that what we're calling
him? Do we even address it? I mean, that's the thing. Is Kirk Bankstead more serious than Brett Halsey and Zach Roper?
No.
Okay.
I'm
bringing his name back for the Say Something Nice.
Wow.
It's a very twisted version of Say Something Nice. I'm violating my own rules, but I don't care.
Well, he's twisted, so that fits. Yeah. I would say it could cut a couple different ways. He is not a viable candidate to win that primary, but he could do some serious damage to some others in that primary, and he's already done it to Rebecca Cook in the third CD.
Yeah, well, and that's... There's no way that this is all him, right? There's no one putting him up to this as far as potentially sabotaging someone else's race.
He's got quite an ego.
Yeah.
It's just him and his bullheadedness and potentially ability to make money.
There are some
by raising his name ID
personal
for
characteristics.
A grift?
You're suggesting.
Oh, I said it outright on Monday. Yeah. Like I do not like him. I think he makes. I think he is a stereotype of what a crazy radical leftist and everything that people call us on Twitter is like. He is the example of that, and I wish he would go away.
Yeah, okay. What I was going to say is I think that there's some personality traits and characteristics that are remind me, anyways, of. A person who he's obsessed with, who is Donald Trump, and I don't think that's healthy.
Is his business open in Minocqua?
It is. That's where he had the FBI come and visit him, and he live streamed.
So his doors are open, because somebody asked me.
Nobody was
no
in
idea.
There except him and a buddy, but yeah, it's open. Yeah,
there's one in Madison, too.
I imagine business is slow up there in the Minocqua, especially with the cold weather. All right, we got local news coming up with Connie Weber.
Welcome back to Point Taken. I am Kristen. He is Steve, talking to Bill McCutcheon and Joseph Pecky. All right, let's stay on Wisconsin a little bit longer before we talk about the MAPS arms race. Another Republican as of yesterday. In fact, is this your representative, right,
absolutely.
Steve? Jesse Rodriguez is now the ninth Republican in the Assembly, choosing not to run again this fall. Andre Jacques. Just the Assembly, yes. Yeah. And then Andre Jacques, when I was gone last week, had announced he was the sixth Republican in the state Senate who was not running. And I had a funny, I think Wiz Dems posted it, a funny clip this week that I sent Bill and Joe, and Bill got a little defensive. He goes, "This isn't even a record breaking year." And I go, "Okay,
everything's fine. This is fine.
We've had more
everything's
time fine. In the past.
Everything's fine.
What so still? Do you maintain that? Do you maintain that everything is fine?
Everything is mostly fine. It got finer on the national level this morning with the Virginia decision, but we'll
get
come to
back
that
to that
in the next segment. Jesse Rodriguez, phenomenal lawmaker. She's been in the state legislature for 14 years. She's been on the finance committee, the Joint Committee on Finance, for at least three terms, maybe four terms.
Works in education.
Strong supporter of education of all kinds, charter choice, virtual, MPS.
And public.
You name it, absolutely. And she is what they call, on the Republican side, one of the majority makers. There are 10 Republicans in seats that are considered swing seats under the new maps. She's one of the 10. So her not running and Dean Coffert a week ago announcing he's not running, those put two of those 10 seats at very much at risk. And Republicans need to win six of them to maintain their majority.
Well, and what do you make as far as I feel like these are late announcements considering everyone's collecting signatures right now.
So sometimes, and Joe knows this, there's a strategy behind that. So you announce the day before filing deadline, you're not running, but oh, by the way, you've got somebody who's already got the signatures and they file.
Yeah, but I'm not hearing anything.
I don't think they have a candidate. So this is actually a pretty significant setback for Republicans. No question about that. And the Coffert one is too.
I will say this about Representative Rodriguez. She's responsive. Whenever you ask her questions, she gets right back to you.
She's awesome.
She's professional. I mean, I was always impressed.
Does her homework.
Yeah, and she's one of those people who actually are you can count on for a vote if you're a Republican. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that says something about her record. And I've known her for 20 years. Smart lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's maybe an indicator of why everyone is fleeing for the exits. I saw Charles Franklin this week. He gave a nice presentation at the Construction Business Group conference. And he was comparing 2018 to today when it comes to the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. Bill, was 2018 a good election year for Republicans?
No, Joe, it wasn't.
Do you know what the Consumer Sentiment Index was then?
I do not.
97.5.
Okay.
Do you know what it is today?
Oof. I do not.
But it's not 97.5.
I was not at the event you were at.
30s, low 40s. Nice. So,
for people who don't know what that is, explain what that is.
That is, how are people feeling about the economy, right? The economy is
the number one
collection
driver
of the psychology
voting.
Of all of us.
Yeah.
And as bad as 2018 was for Republicans, when they look at how people are feeling about the economy and they see those numbers, yeah, I might be looking for a new line of work too.
Which would be bad news for Republicans unless you change the rules or change the lines. Quick break. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Friday, as many of you often do. It's the Bill Joe Show, along with Chris. We're just sort of the moderators for these brilliant talents on the strategist sides of things and all things politics in Wisconsin and beyond. Of course, we're talking a lot about, I had that brilliant tease before the break. Pat myself on the back. I thought about it for like 2 minutes before I said it, so it's not that brilliant. But anyway.
It was good.
Revealing your tricks.
Bill, as a Republican, we were just talking about numbers. None of the numbers look good. I don't care if you believe in polls or not. None of the numbers are looking good, positive for Republicans in November. But the way you kind of get an run around that is you change the rules
to cheat when the Supreme Court gives you a decision on how the rules.
So let's talk about
that. Should you disenfranchise people?
No.
Go, Bill.
All right. So today, if you haven't seen or heard about it yet, the Virginia redistricting, which caused a lot of kerfuffle a month ago, has been thrown out by the Virginia Supreme Court, meaning Virginia will not go from 6-5 Democratic congressional majority to 10-1, which was the plan and what they put before the voters. The reason is they violated the Constitution. In order for that to be truly before voters, it had to be passed in two successive legislative sessions, same rules as apply in Wisconsin, but there had to be an election between those two. What they did is they passed it in lame duck, and then they passed it in a new session. So there was no election, and that was a fatal flaw. So it was tossed. So my friend Joe and I had this conversation off air. What happens next? Do Democrats use the Calais decision or the Louisiana decision, however you want to call it, to try and redo the lines, and maybe it ends up being, 9-3
or whatever.
Who knows? Potentially they could do that. But now with the Supreme Court decision of 2 weeks ago, and there's one other one coming that I've notified my panelists about, and that's related to Mississippi and mail-in ballots, which will be hugely important in California. But I'll set that aside for a second. Right now, Republicans, I got a little pop in my step today. It's not often in 2026 I've had good weeks here because the news hasn't gone my way. But between this and the new jobs numbers today, I'm feeling pretty good. Like Republicans actually have a 50-50 shot to hold the House because they are going to net out at least 14 seats in all of this redistricting.
If people vote how they voted last time.
Correct.
Let's clip and save this for.
I guess that's my question. Is the whole part of this that is unknown as far as how dissatisfied voters actually are. And this was what we didn't spend a ton of time on this on Wednesday. So after the Indiana race, which obviously the efforts there from Trump and his allies to unseat the incumbents who did not redistrict Indiana. It was successful, right? Like
six
of the seven are gone. And so to me, that says there's obviously in Indiana enough base voters who are still 100% behind Trump. Does that hold in a general in all these different states? Or is like, if you look at the 30 or 40 Michigan consumer number, and it's that bad. is there potential that these redistricting efforts don't even matter?
A lot of them could end up being dummymanders. And so the difference between a gerrymander and a dummymander is, right, so when you take a 80-20 district and you say, oh, you know what, we're going to make it a 55-45 district, mm-hmm. and we're going to give those extra 25% of voters who are usually with us to two other districts to make them more competitive, that can backfire.
Sure can.
And that's the risk in all of this, is that if they're kind of slicing the salami too thin, a gerrymander can become a dummymander very quickly.
Okay, so I get all that, but ultimately, just this notion that we're gonna create districts now just are pure partisan districts. Is there not a fear that there's more of a backlash than what you just talked about? Just people say, this is nuts. I'm not supporting this. So they're going to do some crazy things when they get to the voting place.
Yeah, because it also, I think, the trick is for Democrats, we need to use this as a motivator to vote. And hopefully Republicans have so many challenges from a messaging standpoint, whether it's affordability or Iran or the Epstein files, whatever, that they never get around to reminding folks that now live in these safe districts that they got to turn out and vote, even though Trump's not on the ballot.
So when this was before Indiana back in February, it was before Virginia, right? So at the time, I wasn't sure if Indiana did the right or wrong thing because I thought there could be some blowback. But once Virginia happened, it was pretty clear that Indiana should have done this and could have done this. And I think Trump gets a little bit too much credit for what happened in Indiana, and the voters don't get enough credit. Our voters have been, will continue to be highly pissed off and are going to send a message. The next one who's going to go down is John Cornyn in Texas. You wait and see. Republican voters want people who are willing to fight, and if you are not willing to fight, they are going to take you out.
When is that runoff?
Next month. Weeks?
It's early June? It's in May. I think it's in May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are the polling looking like there?
I have no idea.
Paxton's ahead.
Paxton's ahead.
Trump never endorsed.
Nope.
He did not endorse.
And Tallarico is leading both of them in the latest polling, although he's up by a little bit more on Paxton.
All right. Going back to what you said, you think Republican voters want more fighting, more anger?
Yeah, and they're going to come for some of those Senate Republicans who are blocking the SAVE Act from being taken up. And we all know the only way you can do that is to eliminate the filibuster or go to the talking filibuster. John Thune is not willing to do that, maybe because he doesn't have the votes to do that, but people on our side want him to force that vote one way or another.
All right, we got to take another break.
Okay.
All right, is Trump doing the big dance for that ballroom? We'll get to that one and more. Friday edition, Stephen Kristen, Bill and Joe, 620 WTMJ. Oh, well done, Christian Jazz. Stephen Kristen on this Friday with Bill and Joe, our strategist friends. Well, this ballroom thing that we played a little clip the other day of Trump saying, "Oh, we got it. All my rich friends, I'll chip in." Is now turned from that to this, billion-dollar, not just ballroom, but this mega security center underneath it, which I just think is blowing smoke to get the ballroom done. Which is really what the president. I mean, he gives a wink and a wink, nod to security, but that's not what he's done. He wants the ballroom because he wants an homage to himself.
What percentage of Americans do you think have ever been in a ballroom anywhere?
I've been in a ballroom.
I have.
Yeah. What criteria is a ballroom?
When it's called a ballroom, like most major hotels have ballrooms.
Yeah, most major, like if you've been to like a wedding, like a hotel,
That's
right?
That's a dumb question, Joe.
Okay. Well, this is a dumb conversation because what has gone from a $200 million totally private funded pet project of Trump is now, and I almost can't believe this, like they're going to put $1 billion into a congressionally appropriated have to vote on it, $1 billion of our dollars to build this man a ballroom he's obsessed with. It kind of smacks of, the Qataris gave me this great plane. And then all of us have to spend $400 million on it to retrofit it and upgrade the securities. It's almost like this is all about Donald Trump and not at all about the promises he made to the people who voted for him. Isn't that something? Who could have seen that coming? So, did you see that coming, Bill?
This is one of those times where two things can be true. I believe the ballroom itself will still be privately funded. The $1 billion that is in the reconciliation bill is for this new configuration of a security, sort of a skiff underneath it that wasn't part of the original plans. And does that cost $1 billion? I don't know. I think two things can be true. I think the majority of this will be privately funded. And let's not forget, Democrats have slowed this thing down. Right now, as Steve said on the show the other day, I was listening. I think that one was on my drive up to Superior. It's a hole in the ground. There's nothing there.
Do you think you should have just knocked it down before they had any of this sorted?
Well,
is that good planning?
I think the plan was that if it was privately funded, it wouldn't have to go through the long, drawn-out process.
That's not how it works.
Ready, fire, aim. Come on. That's the legacy of the Trump administration.
First of all, it's a public building, so it doesn't work that way. He can't just do whatever he wants, although he's trying to stretch the limits of that. Friend texted me the other day when we were talking about this. Yeah, public-facing ballroom, downstairs, strip club. He's not interested in any of this other stuff. This nonsense. It's just a funding prank that he's playing.
Did you see yesterday? So he's also repainting the reflecting pool, and that's great. That needs maintenance. The Park Service should be redoing that thing every couple of years. But the old man couldn't walk. They literally drove him in a Suburban through the empty reflecting pool.
Yeah,
he just had his third assassination attempt 10 days ago.
For the folks who don't know, tell them how far that is.
Not far. I can walk it in 14 minutes.
I've run it a million times, that whole area. It's not far. It's like a block and a half or a block maybe, something like that, right?
You can't walk it.
But
25% of Republican men think they could beat Donald Trump in a fight.
Yeah, that was a little disappointing. Right?
That was going to be my grab bag.
80% of Republican or Democrat Karens who said they could beat him in a fight.
The Karens know they could take him.
The Karens, that was a little scary.
That was my trick grab bag. So.
You should still do it. You should explain it to people.
We'll explain it at the bottom of the next hour.
Yeah. The alterations on this people's house just make me sick. And I've seen fascinations with gold before, mostly with people with jewelry, but this thing is like nuts.
It's not. I'm going to do this in my grab bag. I just decided. I would ask you guys to put it in the newsletter. There was a new report this week detailing all of the ways that Donald Trump and his family have profited off of the presidency just in the last year and a half. People should check it out.
Good hour, gentlemen. You're sticking around for 30 more minutes. Bill McCoshin, Republican strategist. Joe Zepecki on the left side, the Democratic side of the aisle. Kristen and Steve, always welcome you joining us. If you have any feedback, comments, 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ. Talk and text line. Happy Friday, everybody.
Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
Welcome back to the second hour of Point Taken. We still got 30 more minutes with Joe Zepecki and Bill McCoshin. All right, so this is as of, at least the story is as of yesterday morning. So the FBI questioned a high-ranking Wisconsin election official about the 2020 presidential vote. And this also comes, we know that the FBI also raided a state senator in Virginia who was behind the redistricting. I think there was some other, what was the other FBI thing this week that is
Cash App Bourbon?
Yeah, the branded Cash Bourbon. So I guess, at least in Wisconsin, are we still just relitigating 2020?
Some people are. This was an election almost 6 years ago, and the FBI has a few questions after they seized the voting records from Fulton County in Georgia from the election 6 years ago. What the hell are we doing? This obsession that the only time Donald Trump ran against a man, he got his butt kicked and lost, and he can only beat girls in elections, clearly has gotten to him. That's the best thing I can think. I don't want to be inside his mind, but when I try to be, that's what spits out of the computer.
So, Bill, how do you think, what is the end game of this?
Hard to say, but this morning, Susie Wiles was at a function in Florida yesterday on a panel, and she got asked about this, and she had an answer that sort of stunned me. She said, we will find that Donald Trump actually won some states. They say he lost in 2020. I got a high degree of respect for her. I've already done the 2020 thing. It's over and done with. And I want to know if there was fraud. There was no provable fraud at the time, nor several years later, including in Wisconsin. Highly respected organizations like Will went through this vote by vote. But if you got some proof, let's see it. But I'd like to move on to what's
important
now.
Right around the corner, Bill. Oh, it's coming. Any week now. Two weeks. In 2 weeks, we'll finally uncover the conspiracy theory that they have been obsessed with for almost 6 years.
Fix fraud, but the best way to do it, in my opinion, is to pass the Save America Act.
I always, whenever this comes up, because I was pretty clear from the moment they started, that this was all BS and nonsense, and I'm still adamantly believe that, but it's so... Funny is not right. It just drives me nuts that this president, who's just so insistent that an election was stolen from him, does everything he can in every weird way possible, including redistricting in states and changing, trying to get people, you know, thrown in jail and all. He's doing that very thing he accuses the other party of doing. He's done for the last 6 years.
Yeah. Is that if you obvious? If you believe that Democrats were crafty enough to steal Wisconsin for Trump, but forgot to get Rebecca Cook over the top against Derek Van Orden? Which was a margin of 11,000 votes. I don't know what the hell. Like
what is the theory as far as what has not been proven yet and how the Democrats.
I haven't seen any new facts in Wisconsin that would cause me to believe Joe Biden didn't win Wisconsin.
What is it that you think is the fraud that's happening that you think the SAVE Act would help?
Oh, I think California would be a really good example. California allows votes to come in long after Election Day and counts them long after Election Day.
If they have been mailed.
I didn't actually get a chance to talk about this earlier. There is a Supreme Court ruling likely to come next Wednesday that will address this. And it will not allow them to count those votes long after the election anymore. And there's 14 states. Illinois would be the closest that would be in that same category. So that will help Republicans as well, in my opinion. But as it relates to Wisconsin, there are no facts. And I fight with Republicans from time to time about what goes on in Milwaukee in the late night dump. If you know anything about elections, you know how to factor that in. And I do election night coverage on Channel 15 in Madison. And I said on the air on election night, Donald Trump was above the line in 2024. Eric Hovde was below the line. Guess what? Donald Trump won Wisconsin. Eric Hovde didn't win Wisconsin. It's not super complicated,
but
if you understand how it works.
And also, why not just pass the bill so they can start counting votes
earlier? Republicans could have fixed it, but they chose not to. They would rather dine out on conspiracy theories.
I'm okay with the day before count. I don't really have any problem with that.
And why aren't you okay with if somebody postmarks a ballot the Thursday before the election and the Postal Service screws up and it doesn't get there until Wednesday, the day after the election, why do you think that person's vote shouldn't count?
But if it's postmarked before, it will count.
There's another.
This is what,
no, but
no, no one's vote's getting counted that the postmark is after Election Day.
After Election Day.
There's correct. Another danger here. If you change the rules, change the laws on when you can count them, if it's in a post office situation, it's postmarked, anybody can then play around with that ballot so it never gets to them by the right date, so you've opened up a whole nother area of potential fraud.
You asked me specifically about Save America. Let's go back to California again. We had a mayoral debate 2 nights ago. Two incumbents, one's on the city council, one is the mayor, and a challenger. He's not a partisan challenger. I'd say he's a nonpartisan challenger, but he is making national news. They got asked, the three of them, should illegals be allowed to vote? He says flat out, no. Spencer Pratt is his name. Mayor Bass says, depends. The city council president, I can't pronounce her last name. I think it's Rahman. It might be Raymond. She says, depends. Depends on what?
Well,
the United States Constitution doesn't allow
it.
Not in federal elections.
Not in federal elections. But
so why isn't that an easy answer? So the Save America.
Are all elections federal elections?
No, but
because there's
the Save America Act will provide voter ID. You'll know whether that person.
We have voter ID in most states right now.
They don't have it in California.
And you think if we have voter ID, all of a sudden Republicans are going
to
win elections?
Yeah, I do.
But I thought you would. But you're the guy who always says, "Don't fight on process. Change people's minds. Win their support."
Well, I'm still for that for sure. But I want to make sure the people who are showing up are who they say they are.
All right. After the break, say something nice. We'll see where that goes after this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You keep saying your side is better. It's time to
say something nice
about the other side of the political aisle on Point Taken. Come on, people
now. Smile. All right. It's been 2 weeks since I've had to do this, and I still had a hard time coming up with something today.
All right.
Joe, you ready to go?
I am ready to go. Congresswoman Ashley Hinson from the great state of Iowa, a Republican member of Congress, introduced legislation this week to ban members of Congress, their staffs, and other people who work for Congress from placing bets in prediction markets on political stuff. And that is as no duh common sense or reform as I can imagine. This should pass by acclamation.
I think it will next good. Week. Yeah.
Good. And good on some, and good on the individual offices of members who have already forbidden their staff from doing it, but having it be Congress-wide is a really good thing.
I'm such a giver. I have two this Ooh, week.
Wow.
So New York Governor Kathy Hochul has changed her mind and had decided to allow the Trump tax credit for public schools. If you can get a $1,500 or $1,800 tax break if your kid goes to a non-public school. It is sweeping the country. She's not the first Democratic governor. Jared Polis was. So good on Kathy Hochul. Tony Evers has said no to this and vetoed it. You can still change your mind, Governor. The second one is former, also on education, former Secretary of Education Arne Duncan under the Obama administration said this week, and I like candor. I really do. He said Democrats are making a gigantic mistake not pointing out the problems with our public school system and trying to address it. Good on you. The only way to solve a problem is to admit you have one. We have a serious problem with particularly urban education in the United States of America. Thank you, Arne Duncan.
Has anyone been denying that?
Have you talked about it? Your answer is more money.
We talk about schools
all the time.
Yeah, and I'm for reform.
Stuff.
And
we don't have
okay. God. I don't love mine because I also don't know what her motivation is because I don't obviously know her personally, but Ashley St. Clair, who is a former right, she's also one of the, a mother of one of Elon Musk's children.
Oh, yeah.
She was a Turning Point USA early ambassador. She was a longtime right wing influencer. She has done a 180 and she is coming for everybody. And I say, I don't know if I love this one because it's like, oh, are you still just doing, like, what are your motivations? Are you actually trying to get the truth out there? Are you just trying to get more attention? But I think either way, when you break ranks with a group that you have been that aligned with, it takes some courage.
Yep.
And it's also really good gossip and tea.
I like how Steve was yelling at us for breaking the rules when he teased earlier he's going to break his own rules on Say Something Nice. So the floor is yours, sir.
All right. So in the interest of doing my homework on the show,
you need a drum roll for this one.
Even though I don't like the candidates, I said, I'm going to go investigate Kirk Bankstead because, I mean, I can't talk about something I don't really know. And Kristen probably knows the story much better than I do, but, you know, he's this candidate for Minocqua and, you know, he wants to be governor apparently. But I thought about, like, okay, so I looked at his website and I did take away one thing. And I was telling you guys during the break. One of the first things, I agree with him on this. Follow the advice of scientists and health experts. I'm in full agreement with Kirk Bankstead on that. Everything else about the guy I can't stand. But one of the things I also thought about, and this is where I'm curious your thoughts. He makes all the other candidates on that side look more normal because he's absolutely insane, I think. Crazy. I don't think he's that smart. So whoever's the far left is now not as far left as Kirk Bankstead. So he's transparent. He tells you what he thinks. He's open and honest about his craziness, I think. So there's actually.
I don't know if he calls himself crazy.
Maybe he doesn't, but everyone else.
Not sure. Self awareness is a big thing for.
But don't you think he's fully transparent? You get what you get with this dude. No,
I don't.
You think he's hiding something?
You think he's grifting?
I do.
So do I.
All right.
Okay. I said it was a reach, and it was a reach. But I do agree with him on the scientists and health experts, and maybe that makes me an outlier.
That's not controversial.
I was going to say, do you think that's not where every other Democratic candidate also?
I have no idea because I'm starting to study the Democratic candidates because they all need to get their
and
websites.
You're worried that any of the Democrats running are anti-science?
I have no idea until I read the words. I don't just take it for granted.
Way to not make assumptions. Yeah. It's very smart.
Yeah. See, right? Because, you know, when you make.
Yeah. I know how it goes.
One of them is a three-letter word, which is not nice, which I can't say. All right. What's next?
Grab bag. We'll be back after this with grab bag.
All right, since we got most of the politics out of our systems, let's finish up with some grab bags.
All right, Bill, what is in your grab bag?
It is Mother's Day weekend, and me and my family are going to go to the Brewers game, first one of the year, against the Yankees on Sunday. But Wednesday and Thursday, I was in my hometown of Superior. I drove by the old house. My mother sadly passed away when I was 19. She did get to see me be a cabinet secretary for Governor Thompson. I miss her every single day. My wife has done an unbelievable job with our three kids. I think they've turned out phenomenally well, and she gets a majority of the credit. Plus, she helps. She's sort of the caretaker along with her sisters and her brothers of her mother, who's 96, just moved into a memory care unit. This is a weekend to remember your mom and everything they've done for you to help you along the way or to get you through a bad time. There's nobody like a mother. Make sure you celebrate your mom, whether they're here or not. There's those good memories you can live on for sure.
Joe.
Here, here. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Love you. I would echo so much of what you said. She gets all the credit. She's the best. And I'm hoping to spend some time with her this weekend. And my other grab bag is if you read one thing this weekend, Kristen will put it in the newsletter. Read the Everything Everywhere All at Once Corruption Story by Isaac Saul, who is a down the middle, not a Republican, not a Democrat.
S-A-U-L or S-O-L?
S-A-U-L. And he's a brilliant writer.
He was really, he's the founder of Tangle News, which we recommend.
He was very tough on Hunter Biden and those allegations and your potential instances of corruption and self-dealing. And he took an exhaustive look at what is happening with the Trump administration. It is worth your time.
All right. My silly one is this stupid poll. Who put this poll out? Like YouGov? There was a poll basically that asked, do you think you could beat Donald Trump in a fight? And it was ridiculous because of how many Republican men said no. But
there's another ridiculous part of it. You'll get to that.
71% of Democratic women said they would beat Donald Trump in a fight.
Might be higher.
But less than half of Republican men
care. All I can think of is that scene. I forgot. It was season 3 of Handmaid's Tale with Fred Waterford, where the handmaids finally get Fred Waterford in the woods alone. And that's what all these women are thinking. But it's just what a silly, silly poll. But on a more serious note, yes, as it is my day on Sunday, we are going to be spending it with my mom at Chula Vista in the water park.
There we go.
But I will honor my mom by saying, like, everything I know about being a mom, I learned from her. And we've been really lucky the last two, this will be the third week in a row that Frankie's gotten to be with my mom. And their bond is very special. And I'm looking forward to it. And I love being a mom.
And happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, same thing. I got two of them. One is a great fundraiser that's going on. I'll tell you about it in a second. But yeah, my mom, fantastic lady, raised four boys that just fought constantly and got into trouble, always violated what they told us to do. We all turned out, which is sort of, I guess, a testament to her work.
Absolutely.
You know, I said on day one that I had a show, women are smarter than men. And my mom, in a sneaky way, is very, very smart about everything. And she knows what buttons to push and what to say in the right situation. She's very nuanced about that stuff, but she's a brilliant woman. And I've been lucky to have her. And, of course, my wife, Kathy, raised two unbelievably talented daughters and smart girls and lovely, their moms themselves. And she did most of it, like three quarters of it, by herself because I was on the road traveling. So that's a testament to that. My friend Mike Sweeney, I'm very involved with cancer research with Freighter. I do a rare cancer event every year. My friend Mike Sweeney's doing an event along with Marquette, got the Lions Club helping him as well. He's got an event. He's right on Howell Avenue by the airport, Sweeney's Gym. It's tomorrow, 2 to 7, live music, food truck, but it's raising money for cancer research with Marquette. Just help people out. It's the weather looks good. So if you like live music, got a food truck out there too. You can go to Sweeney's.
And it makes you feel good.
Sweeney'sGym.com. It does make you feel good. That's one of the reasons I do that event at Freighter WI, because there's so many ways you can help. Find a way. Doesn't have to be this. Could be anything. I hate when people say they're too busy. Unless you're the president of the United States, you're not that busy. Let's be honest. Find a way to help somebody. Yeah. Take a moment to do something other than your thing. Do something for somebody else. That's my message.
Love it.
All right, we got 30 seconds.
For a busy guy, he finds a lot of time to talk about the
problem. I knew that would light you up. How do Republican
members of Congress not walk into the Oval Office and say, sir, would you please shut the hell up about the ballroom?
Do us one solid.
And clearly they can't do it.
I'm going to end on a high note.
All right.
Marco Rubio met with the Pope this week. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. Marco is a man of faith. I think that was an assignment he relished. He brought his wife with
Who
him.
Who wins that fight, Rubio or the Pope? Tough Chicago guy. Come on.
I bet there were the Pope looked like a little man. Marco's not big. I've met him.
He's little Marco. The Pope remember.
The Pope's even smaller.
I like this Pope, but that's just me. I'm a Catholic. All right. Gentlemen.
See you next week.
See you next week.
All right. We got a half hour. I don't think we fully decided what we're going to do yet, but we'll get to it.
Well, someone wants an update on Frankie's potty training. So maybe we'll talk
about
that.
Maybe we'll do that. You never know what's coming up.
Welcome back to Point Taken. I'm Kristen, here with Steve. A couple more segments. Someone at the text line asked for an update on, I think I announced this while you were gone, that we were potty training. She's doing great.
Yeah. That's not an easy process.
She's having, doing great. She was,
done it myself,
she was definitely ready.
Watched my daughter do it.
And yeah, I would say overall it's been a very smooth process.
Really?
Yeah.
And she's only 2.5, right?
Only 2.5.
That's pretty good.
And so she's doing, yeah, she's, I would give a big shout out to Milestones, the place where she goes to school, as far as her teachers being a big help in this process.
What a surprise, the importance of teachers.
Yeah. And so I would, my hat's off. That was one of those things that I was like, what are we doing? You tell me, because you've potty trained a lot more kids than I have.
I was going to just, that's my question. Like, so where would one go to get like the right, if there is a right way? I guess every kid's different, but.
I mean, I just follow the lead of the teachers. Of like, this is how we do it here. This is what we recommend. You take a weekend, you just commit to it, and then you never go back. Like there is like.
So I imagine that first weekend's hellacious, right? Or no?
Yeah. I mean, it actually wasn't even that bad.
Yeah.
But this is what the scary part about potentially having a second kid. Because she's been so good and so easy that it tricks you into thinking that the second kid's going to be just as easy. And I don't think that's a guarantee.
No, they're all different. Also, I was thinking about this. You and I have talked before about the challenges and the costs of raising a child.
Yeah.
And all the things that bring, you know, child care, all that stuff. Do you think we'll see, because typically, this is just anecdotal, but in my era, the kids were always like a year or two apart. And then like people stacked them like 4 kids, 3 kids, 6 kids. And now they're having less children, you know, marrieds or partners.
Marrieds.
Well, we see a bigger spread because you get the one kid into the school system, public schools that you're paying for through your property taxes. So you can afford to have a, you know, you're not getting a break because you're still paying childcare, but it's not double. It's just what you were paying before. That might be a new way of looking at it, the spread between the
I mean, it's a smart way to do it. I don't know if that's
but if then,
why
then you have
people
that distance.
Doing it.
I mean, I had a brother that was 16 and a half, 17 years younger than me. You don't. I do know him well now, but at the time, you don't know because they're a baby, and I was leaving the house. So it changes the dynamic. I don't know if 5 years would do that, but it is an interesting way to look at how we evolve.
Well, actually, I mean, if you think of like hunters and gatherers, that's actually a very normal spread.
Yeah.
As far as
right.
not being, like, you're not breastfeeding anymore, and the older child can walk on their own and has more independence as you then shift your focus to a baby. That, and there is some studies also as far as having like Irish twins and the long-term impacts it can have on like competitiveness and what happens as far as having a separate identity when you're so close in age. That, like, my brother and I are 4.5 years apart. And I actually think that's a pretty good age difference as far as, like you said, as like an older kid having a little bit more independence. You're not
a little guidance. You can actually be,
you
know,
you can be
communicate
a little bit more helpful.
Effectively.
You're going through different periods of life at different times. And so Frankie, yeah, like this, even if we got pregnant tomorrow, Frankie would still be approaching 3.5. So,
yeah,
but I'm not getting pregnant tomorrow. So don't worry.
Just on that subject, the texter says, my second child was valedictorian. Go for it. Hey,
there you go.
That's a success story.
And
awesome.
I would say my parents think their second child is a lot more manageable than their first child as well.
Oh.
But all right. In a different note, beyond my reproductive process, this is a shout out to Oak Creek. So yeah. Redfin analyzed zip codes across the country's 100 most populated metro areas, looking at year-over-year growth in listing views on its website, along with a score that reflects how tough it is to purchase a home in that area. In Wisconsin, in the top 10. This is across the country. There's three in the top 10 from Wisconsin. West Bend, Menominee Falls, and Oak Creek.
Yeah,
what's
Menominee
the secret
Falls,
sauce over at Oak Creek?
A lot going on. We talked about the economic development. Some people don't like it, but most people do. It's an opportunity to, you don't have to drive somewhere to shop or to go out to dinner, you know, the great restaurants we brought in and options, and that continues the IKEA stores there. But the other thing is, and this is the nuts and bolts, they have a big marketing department in Oak Creek now. They have a lot of people working to sell the city at all different ways, economic development, tourism, all parts of the story. And for all those folks who poo-poo that stuff, some of that eventually gives you a recognition that you may deserve, but you may never, no one will ever hear about it because you're not telling your story. So that's a testament to Oak Creek. They tell their story, something that we prided ourselves on, because one of the reasons I first ran for mayor, I go, we are not telling the story of Oak Creek.
What is the story of Oak Creek?
Its location is paramount. Airport right next door, easy to get to in 5 minutes. Freeway goes through, beautiful lakefront, tremendous, still open parcels of land for business development, and great neighborhoods. And all those things add up to a great city, and I'm not surprised they made the list.
What's the tagline for Oak Creek?
It's funny you ask that. So I was involved with the first marketing program for Oak Creek when I was mayor. We talked about this forever. What should it be? We had samples. We put them, we tested them. At the end of the day, we're like, screw this. No one could agree on anything.
So no tagline.
So just logo.
Milwaukee is like unofficial one is what? A great city by a great lake?
Great place at a great lake, yeah.
Great place at a great lake?
Yeah. We just said screw
it. I guess like any of the cities on Lake Michigan could take that?
Pretty much. Yeah. And Oak Creek is also on Lake Michigan. Yeah. So there you go. All right, after the break, the weekend review, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry.
All right. An airline goes under, a TV legend dies, Brewers stars return, and more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
May the 4th be with you. You see what happened there?
May the 4th be with you.
Kirk Bangstad getting into the race.
Or as I like to call him, the left's version of the MyPillow guy.
Today, the Supreme Court restored broad access to the abortion pill Mifepristone. There was concern and there was also just plain confusion.
What happens if people have tickets on Spirit Airlines right now?
Some people, that was all they could afford. And so, my major mission in life is to allow people who want to travel to travel. Spirit Air did that. 17,000 people out of a job.
First pitch, and Churio gets into one. Right center field. Scott's going back at the track. That one bangs off the wall. 4-for-4.
I'm batting 1,000.
And the Cardinals will take game one by a final of 6-3.
This sucks.
Great Lakes Fusion Energy Summit convenes in Madison today. It's described as an effort to showcase Wisconsin's fusion research strength.
About like the discovery of fire, it's kind of on a par with that.
Are you telling me that this sucker is nuclear?
The Nuglaris native received an invite from the Packers to join their recently completed rookie minicamp.
Did I hear that you might also be practicing with
the Bears? Yep, I go to the Bears this Thursday.
Okay, you're forgiven.
Another Walgreens location closing in the city of Milwaukee.
$80.4 billion company, and you can't figure out security. Amazon is probably the only place that can get it to you for the cheapest money.
Now $1 billion earmarked for security improvements accompanying the ballroom project.
So there's a hole in the ground, right? At this point, we can all agree that something needs to be built.
I'm not arguing that there shouldn't be a ballroom.
But who should pay for it? I mean, now that's torn down.
We're going to pay for it, which is the part that sucks.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Word today, Ted Turner has died.
He had the sheer audacity to think of something that no one had thought of before, spend the money to do it, and have the patience for it to grow. And what was that thing? Cable news 24/7.
3-2 Devon, and a fly ball to left, hit well. Bye-bye, baseball! Welcome back, Andrew Vaughn.
It's my honor, my joy, my excitement to introduce Taylor Jenkins as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
This is a full circle moment for me and my family. We're home.
Taylor Jenkins' hire is going to be completely overshadowed by Jimmy Haslam's comment that the deadline for Giannis is going to be the NBA draft.
Yep. Big Dog Ranch Rescue out of Florida has removed 1,000 beagles from the controversial breeding and research facility in Dane County.
They're going to have a brighter future and going to the loving arms of families.
When was the last time you thought about fishermen boats just getting bombed in the Caribbean?
Blown up.
Haven't talked about that in a while, have we?
With no due process or just boom, they're gone.
Or what's going on in Cuba?
Yeah, regime change.
We're talking about an altercation that happened in City Hall between two alderpersons. They have an exchange, words get exchanged, swear words get exchanged, hats allegedly go flying.
Canvas is a very popular cloud-based digital hub for classrooms.
I use it for pretty much everything that I do.
And this site crashed, gone.
What are we, gang?
Walk a week.
Boom, they're gone.
Oh, I can listen to that all morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
That's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Text WEEK to the Siding Unlimited talk and text line 855-616-1620 to hear it again.
We have a Western theme as we go out, sort of like a Happy Trails. We did it during the grab bag, but it is Mother's Day weekend, so be nice to your moms in whatever, you know, form or fashion.
Do you have a go-to gift for Kathy?
No, I usually ask her.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah, but I don't want to do the same thing every year. Is that what you're asking?
If you always get her flowers, yeah. Or you always get her a piece of jewelry.
Always buy my mom a planter with a big... I go to Milliger's or my friends at Tihan's Nursery, and she just loves it. So that's my thing for her every year. Okay. I already gave it to her because the thing is massive.
I asked for a photo shoot. Like a mini session photo shoot with one of my friends who's a professional, a very good photographer. And so she posted that on her Instagram. She goes, all your wife wants for Mother's Day is photos with her with the kid. Because men are not always great at taking photos of moms with their small children, at least in a stereotype. And so I sent it to Mike. I was like, let's do another family photo shoot. Mm. And so I think that's what he's getting me. That's what I asked for.
So when you get the photo, then what do you do with the photo? Then you hang it in your wall somewhere?
We finally last year, after having thousands of dollars of between engagement photos and wedding photos and family photos, I finally got things framed and put them up in the house. And so I have a gallery wall now, and so we will continue to put things up on the gallery wall as we have professional photos taken.
So in our hallway, one side is all of the wedding photos. My parents, Kathy's parents, our wedding photo, our kids' parents, their wedding photo. On one side, and the other side is my grandkid. Well, first, my daughter's, their Max. College graduation.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then their high school in big pictures. And then we have the grandkids all around 1.5 years old.
Nice.
Really cool. And I love looking at those pictures because... Other than Cal, none of them look like that anymore. Yeah. But it's just, you remember that moment. That's a great gift, by the way. If you find a great picture of your grandkids.
Other really good hack, if you have an iPhone, you can change on your wall, like the picture for your save screen.
Yeah.
So you can pick a person, and every hour it will change a photo of that person in your
very
phone.
Cool.
So almost every time I look at my phone, it's a different picture of Frankie at a different age.
That's cool.
Which is very fun.
So all the moms have a great weekend, and we want just a little self-promotion. So a couple things. One, it's the last day to make your nominations for Salute to Service. I spent about 3 hours yesterday contacting a lot of the nominators, asking questions. So that process will get resolved this weekend. I make my final five decision. But
have you had any more people tell you no?
No, just the one so far, which it's always disappointing because that was actually a story I wanted to tell, but you have to respect that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have another one that's possibly a no. So if you have a last-minute nomination, just text the word SALUTE, S-A-L-U-T-E, to 855-616-1620. We'll get those in. Or just find the banner on WTMJ.com. It's got to be done by the end of the date, so send them to me now because the process ends, at least that part of the process ends this weekend.
Also for... newsletter this week, we'll put in the recommended article that Joe was talking about as far as the corruption. We have our overtime. Who makes better parents, conservatives or liberals, along with our mailbag of Ask Us Anything. What else is in our we'll have your new Scafidiology.
Yes, I did a great one on education. Got a new outdoors program.
Outdoors. So if you've not subscribed yet, text extra to 855-616-1620 to get our Extra Points newsletter. That is the roundup and more of everything that we do on this show and all the things we do outside of the show.
What other texts? We had a bunch of text words this week. You did one. Did you create a new one? Oh, ask. Ask.
Oh yeah. If you don't have the newsletter and you just want to submit a question, we have a standing survey now. Not survey, form that you can submit your questions. And we actually have a very funny, maybe I'll put that out. A very funny video of we were asked who was more likely to join the cult and who is more likely to survive in a zombie apocalypse. And I put a pretty funny video together of our banter on
Kathy,
that one.
My wife Kathy thought it was humorous.
So did your daughter.
Yeah. It is funny. You know, one of the reasons, I don't have time to tell, but I have a sense of humor.
You do have a sense of humor.
I talk a lot about serious stuff, but trust me, I can be just as goofy as the rest of you. So it's a great way to show that. And I don't want to always be serious. I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
So we'll have fun.
I'll throw that in the newsletter too. Yeah. So people who didn't see it on Facebook or Instagram can enjoy it.
And share that newsletter with your friends and family and neighbors.
Press that forward button.
Have a great Mother's Day weekend, Kristen. It is time for the news.